This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Hello, everybody. This is Walter. How are you today? It's another week in the books, and I am here with Jay this week. Jay is on the line. Scoop is working some new hours, so we'll work him in when we can. He's got some stuff going on out his way up there in D.C., but he'll be on again shortly. Good morning, Jay. Good afternoon, Jay. Good evening, Jay.
Good morning, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. I'm doing great, man. The sun is out here in the Great South, and we had a ton of rain yesterday, overflowed the pool, had to empty out some of the water in the pool, but hey, listen, life could be worse.
That's fact. That's the biggest of your worries, then you were doing good.
Yeah, I did. I was doing good. I did that this morning. I emptied out some of the water that was overflowing in the pool today. I had to throw some chemicals in there because of the rain. You know, all this threats of acid rain and all that nonsense and stuff. So put some chemicals in there so it doesn't turn green anymore. But yeah, life could be worse. Life can be worse. I want to take this moment in the beginning of the show, Jay. It was my son's birthday this past week. He was 19 on the 20th, and he was a Father's Day baby back in 1999. So he was my gift for life. And I'd just like to say, oh, Zach, happy birthday. I love you. I'm proud of you. And hey, call me once in a while, kiddo. he's got his truck. He's got his cars. He's got his apartment. He's got his job. And, yeah, I remember when I was 19 and now, and, it was hit and miss. I think my parents bought me an answering machine because I said, well, you never call. And they said, we call all the time, but I was never home. So, but now with the text, like I get texts, he texts me, he's busy. He's 19. He's busy. You know, girlfriend, job, apartment. Stuff like that, friends. So I'm all good with that. He's a great kid. He's a really great kid. I appreciate him.
That's so good to hear, man.
Mr. J, how about this child separation thing? Over the past few days, it's been horrendous, according to some people. It's not horrendous to some people. Melania went out and visited a detention center in Texas. Mr. Trump is trying to get some stuff signed to help with the separations and stuff. And, the separation stuff goes way back. You know, it just didn't start last month, you know, like some people are thinking. And that's the way a lot of people on the left are presenting it. And some of these news stations, you know, CNN and some of these other places that report it, and they show these horrendous conditions. And then you turn the channel and the kids are sitting there, you know, playing video games or watching Netflix and sitting on couches and playing ping pong. You don't know who to believe. Everybody's got a picture, Photoshop, all this stuff. But I don't think that the United States Border Patrol has had a whole heck of a lot of help in the past, let's say 20 years. Let's go back to the middle of the Clinton administration. They haven't had a lot of help with people crossing the border and taking care of their business. They go by what's on the books now, you know, what legislation allows them to do now. And when the border patrols get attacked verbally, it's not their fault. They're following the traffic. They're following the laws on this trafficking thing. my take on it is that when people come across the border and they're intercepted, what happens to them? And, you know, geez, I really have, myself, I have no idea what the process is. You know, I imagine, you know, they're taken into custody, and just like I'm pulling somebody off the street when I was a cop, they come into custody, they get processed. And you do the best you can with the laws that are on the books. And a lot of them come in, you know, without paperwork. And, you know, I said this to Scoop the other day when we were talking, you know, are they the new, and I don't mean this derogatorily to the Italian community, because I grew up in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Are they the new WOPs, which, you know, everybody knows stands without papers. My grandparents were WOPs. You know, I'm Ukrainian descent, and they come over in the early 20s. They didn't have paperwork. So are these the new people without papers, and they're being treated as such? Because we don't know who in the world they are. The Cubans that came over 35 years ago on the boats and stuff, well, more than 35 years ago. We're talking, what, 42 years ago when Carter was in office. Said, yeah, let's open up the Miami borders and let them in. They come across with no paperwork. So, and that was a process. And I don't remember anybody screaming about the detention centers back in the mid-70s, the late, you know, during the Carter administration, 76 to 80, 82, when Reagan took over. And I remember driving I-95, and underneath I-95, when you went through South Florida, you saw everybody was caged in these huge fences. They looked like prison yards with tents. And there wasn't a big outcry because we as a country had them contained. And when I say them, that's exactly what the way we referred to it, them. And they were processed, and now there's no more cages down there. You know, the cages are gone, and the people have gotten into our communities, you know, the good people, the bad people, the criminal people, the professional people of the Cuban influx. But now everybody seems to be in an uproar because of one or two pictures, you know, with kids in cages. But, you know, I don't think those pictures were true. I think they were past pictures. And it can only go by what legislation allows them to do. And I know Jay is my walking encyclopedia, and I know he's just itching for me to shut up so he can get in there, and I want his opinion so everybody can hear it. So, Jay?
Well, yeah, some of the pictures were. There were several pictures that were printed that were from 2014. No matter what, either way, to me, it's a huge non-issue in the sense that, yeah, they don't have papers. They don't have papers to the point where we don't know where these people came from. We don't have a clue. On a regular basis, ICE, like, catches a bunch of Arabs trying to move across from Mexico. That happens fairly regularly. You know, people from countries that have nothing to do with Hispanic nations south of the border. They're from overseas elsewhere. And this happens all the time. And these kids that they're bringing in, we don't know if they're their kids or they're just bringing them to try to get in.
Take care. Right to the break. Get right to that.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on strike three. They've won it. They have won it. World champions. Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids. Long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
Hey, we're back here on 7-5 Radio, talking with Jay, and we're going to continue our discussion on the child separation stuff. And Jay was bringing up good points on people coming over the border that without the papers, as I mentioned. We don't know who they are. We don't know if the kids belong to these people that are saying they're their kids. You know, are they what I would call tickets across the board to try and seek asylum? So, Jay, please continue.
Yeah, but, you know, the fact that they don't have papers, that's the way they've always been. Hispanic immigration coming from coming in from Mexico, even if they're from South America, any of the South American countries or any of the Caribbean island nations, all that's kind of Hispanic. They never have any papers, and they've never had. You know, if they have papers and they actually take the time to get a visa, they usually have money and they're actually here on vacation. These people coming across, and, you know, just like anything else, ICE only catches about 10%, and that's any type of law enforcement. Any law enforcement, even if it's corrections, they'll even tell you when it comes to drugs or any illegal substances or activities being done or brought across borders into America, we only catch about 10% of what's coming in. So ICE is only catching about 10% of the ones that are coming across the border. There's vast numbers that get brought in by coyotes and everything else that they just come across the border and find a bus and move on to different states. Now, when it comes to these kids being separated from their parents, I have to wonder, I don't think they were separated like they were grabbed and sent back. They may have been grabbed and housed somewhere else.
The media is saying grabbed and ripped from their parents' arms and such, and that's not the case. You know, so when the parents or these adults, quote unquote, that have these kids in their possession, are taken into custody because of whatever the case may be, crossing, you know, into the country illegally, the kids are taken away. And sometimes they don't let the kids away, and you've got to use some type of a little bit of force to separate. Those are our laws. You know, the kids get pulled away from the parents, but they're not ripped or grabbed or yanked. They're removed. Let's use the word removed. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. And, you know, you brought up a good point with, you know, when the Cubans came over back in the late 70s, early 80s. Well, let's not forget, all kinds of people were coming over. Now, we've learned now, what did Castro do? Castro opened up all his prisons, and he's like, well, all right, we'll just get rid of all these people we don't want to pay to take care of anyway. So along with, you know, people that were trying to escape communism, which is a type of government I have a serious problem with, you know, you got all these dangerous criminals mixed in. And so when they built those facilities, it was because they had to figure out, they, you know, and communist country Cuba back then, that was a subversive nation. So you can't just allow everybody to come running in. The problem is you can't send any of them back. So all of them stayed. And what did that turn into? That turned into the cocaine cowboy days, where you had all these Cuban gangs suddenly spark up. And it's like prohibition in the 1930s in places like Florida. And I know in New York and Connecticut and all that, you guys dealt with it, where, you know, that created a whole other criminal atmosphere. And I'm sorry, yeah, this is inevitably, these people are going to lead to those kind of problems. And something everybody needs to not forget is massive open immigration does not help the people that live in the nation, the middle class and the lower class that are just getting average blue collar type jobs. It's hurting you. The only people that are benefit from all these immigrants, cheap labor is what they are. They're cheap labor coming in is the highest of the high. You know, your 1-3% guys. And I'm not even talking about guys that can, like, you know, run a 12-man construction crew. They're still paying out the butt for these individuals. But when you get to the highest level, they benefit. Not only in boats, but in cheap labor. So these people coming in, it's not a good thing for us at all. And it would not be hard for us to enforce our borders. If Korea, Iran, China, all these other countries, they don't tolerate the massive numbers that are moving across our borders, and they don't have to spend that much to keep an eye on it and keep these people coming out. You know, we purposely hold back and allow these people come in. Our politicians do for this nefarious reason and that nefarious reason. And to me, with this thing with Trump and him signing this off, to me, it's almost like the puppet show. It's either way, whether he would have signed, whether he would have changed the executive order or not, it means nothing. It means nothing in the long run because, you know, he's a big business guy. And so he is, as much as he might talk about wanting to get rid of these people, he's really not doing enough to make it happen, at least everything that's within his power. And if he's going to start repealing executive orders, I'd like to see him repeal the 2011 Obama executive order that gives law enforcement the right to warrantlessly search your house based on reasonable suspicion, federal law enforcement officers. And that's an executive order he has yet to repeal that I would like to see gone away with. So,
but one step at a time for, you know, Mr. T out there in Washington. You know, and I understand exactly where you're coming from. You know, I don't want my home invaded because somebody said, Walter's got, he's a convicted felon, he's got guns in his house, and I don't need them coming to my door. This I get. And what happens, Mr. Trump is getting bombarded with a lot of stuff that the left has put into place, you know, over the past 25 or 30 years. And step by step on him. I don't agree with everything that man is doing. I don't. But then again, that's why we're a democracy. You know, you don't have to. But I'm not going to go up on my soapbox, or I'm not going to rent a football stadium and pack it and make people watch me get down on my freaking knee. That's not going to happen. I believe, you know, his intent is there. His wife was in South Texas yesterday, or East Texas yesterday, and she wore some kind of a jacket, and I didn't catch it until, you know, after she left, with the words on her back, I don't really care, do you? And people were making fun of her, and I don't know why they continue to do that, that she was wearing a $39 jacket from Walmart. Well, so what? You know, she's a multimillionaire, her husband's a billionaire, so what if she's wearing a $39 jacket from Walmart? Man, it shows. So to me, that would show she's down to earth, that she'll wear what's comfortable, even though it's inexpensive. But did you catch that with that, what she had written on the back of her jacket?
No, I didn't catch that. What was it?
Okay, it said, "I really don't care, do you?" Now, if you pull up Melania's trip yesterday to Texas, you can see stuff written on it, but you really, you know, she didn't stand out there like it was a T-shirt, you know, like, you know, where you can exactly read it, but it was there. And I think that was her reference to media attention, the bad media attention that that she gets and Mr. Trump gets. So, this thing with the kids, there's no real solution. But I think, the political world has to pull together, the business world has to pull together and come up with, some goals and that are positive. Not everything is going to make everybody happy. And I think it can be resolved is not the word. It can be worked out where not everybody's happy, but it works, and then take the problems on as they come. It's unfortunate the kids are separated from the parents. But again, don't know who's bringing these kids in. Are they pedophiles? Are they criminals? Are they really the parents? Are they traffickers that got caught and say, well, this is my kids? You never really know what's going on out there. Like I said, I'm not on the border. These border patrol agents have, a 24/7, actually, you could probably say a 35/8. Because they work all day long, all week long, all year long. They come in on Christmas. They come in illegally on all holidays, when they think that the Border Patrol is at its thinnest. And, we got thousands and thousands of people coming over that border every day. It's tough out there. It really is tough. And there was a fella on yesterday, Border Patrol. Well, we'll get back to that right after these words from our sponsors.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosertify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Oh.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
We're discussing this child separation thing with Jay here. And I want to wrap it up because I want to move on to other stuff. But Jay, you got any final thoughts on it?
You know, I hear people all the time say, you know, the situation's difficult, what we do with these people. To me, it's not that difficult. I'm old-fashioned American when I think about it. If there's something that's in your environment that should not be there, you go pick it up and you remove it. And I'm not opposed to loading all these people onto a truck and pushing them across the border if that's what we have to do, and going, don't come back, stay over there. Enforcing our borders, and heck, if you want to get rid of the illegals that are here, I got a way to do it. You could stimulate the economy at the same time. You could offer, as long as people get permission from the local sheriff, you could offer a $100 bounty on every single illegal alien that a citizen is able to bring into the local sheriff's office. Boy, I'll tell you what, we'd have the illegal alien problem solved in about a month. They would all be gone. And you would stimulate the economy at the same time. So all those people would go spend money.
Well, you know, I tweeted out the other day something along those lines with the buses. And since Mr. Trudeau up there in Canada, it doesn't have a whole heck of a lot to say good about us the past couple of weeks, I tweeted out that, all right, let's put them on Greyhounds, you know, down there in, you know, Texas, New Mexico border, and let's put them on Greyhounds, and instead of going south, take them north. Take them north and drop them off like in Montana, you know, where, you know, you can jump across the border without anybody seeing you, you know. Just take them to Montana, open up the doors and say, get the hell out. And this would be the good time of the year because, you know, it's nice and warm up there in Canada now. So stay up there, you know. Coming back, it's a wide illegal port of entry on the way back, though. I'm all for the wall, you know, and my analogy of building that wall is that, okay, let's hire all these illegals to build the wall, and then when they're done, throw them back over.
I'm of the thought that I don't want the government spending any more of my damn taxpayer money when they're not serious about this. All their actions, going all the way back to Reagan, they're not serious about fixing the border. They're not serious about stopping immigration. They play us lip service, but they're not serious about this because it's not that hard. Round the people up and send them back. It's not that difficult. Stop them from getting across the border. We could police our border. We've got the technology. We could do it without a wall if we wanted to, but our government is not serious about it. And I've said it before, if Trump was serious about wanting Mexico to build that wall to pay for it, which I think he's reneged on, but I was like, that would be really easy if you just told all the cartels that, well, you know what, either build this wall for us or I'm going to legalize all drugs here in America. You bet the cartel would be out there building that wall. That wall would be made of solid gold. Because that's how they make their money, the criminals to the south of us.
Maybe so. If that's a distinct possibility. All right. Well, I'm sure our government is still going to be working on it, and the left is going to be working on it, trying to resolve this border issue from here to kingdom come. It's going to take that long. But all we could do is make do with what we got in the books and go from there. Anyway, can we go over to, Peter Fonda, Mr. Peter Fonda, you know what he said, this week about, the first family? It's been all over.
News. Well, he also advocated for, citizens to harass the children of, ICE agents and law enforcement officers at their school. So he was basically advocating for an angry mob to show up to a local school and attack it. And I'm like, if anybody else tweeted something like that, the cops would be picking them up. You know, people are their pets.
You know, Melania called on her her Secret Service. Her staff called on to the Secret Service when Fonda said that we should not we. They should kidnap Baron, little Baron, and put him in a cage with pedophiles and stuff like that. And she called the Secret Service. And within hours of Peter spewing out his garbage, he registered an apology, a public apology, and for any hurt that he may have caused, and a bunch of nonsense. And this is just another example of the left spewing out crap, and when they're called on it, they put their tail between their legs and get on their knees and ask for forgiveness. You just don't do that. You had Johnny Depp, I mentioned last week, having his own little press conference, and he put it out there. When was the last time an actor killed a president? Talking about John Wilkes Booth shooting Lincoln, 150 years ago, be that as it may. It's just not acceptable. Just because you think you can say it and you say it, it's just disrespectful. It's not helping our next generation of kids that are on social media now. 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, they get these ideas in their little heads because of these freaking mouths that are spewing out garbage. So, I'm sad to say, I think the next 30 years of our political correctness is going to get so damaged, where we're going to have nothing but protests and such. People are elected into office because the majority wants them in the office. Then the minority steps up and says, well, we don't like what they're doing. Well, it's too bad. If you had the majority, you could have had somebody else in there, and then we would have said, we don't like what you're doing. The things that the actors are saying, De Niro, was out there, F Trump, a couple of weeks ago at some awards show, and people got on their feet. That's just uncalled for. That's just uncalled for. I don't think that the celebrity, and I put that in quotes because nobody's better than anybody else, because they have a platform that they can use. Fonda has a movie coming out. Why Sony hired Fonda to do a movie, I have no idea. The guy isn't a fraction an actor of what his father was. And his sister isn't much better. Hanoi Jane, Communist Jane, 45 years
ago. Well, I think you just hit the reason why. The reason why is because those people tow the leftist narrative. And, the thing that kids need to realize what I worry about is celebrities say things all the time. Like what Fonda said would have got anybody else arrested. He's advocating for the kidnapping and injury, threatening one of the one of the children of the president. Anybody else would have got arrested for things like that. Madonna talking about, she's thinking about blowing up the White House, getting on there talking about it. What it is these are their pets. As long as you toe the leftist narrative, because the DOJ, the Department of Justice, is inundated with these leftists, and even not just the DOJ, local lawyers. Look who make up the vast majority of lawyers, and the large number of them toe the leftist narrative or support it one way or another in every state. And our governments, even on a state level, are so infected with this that I have no faith in elections. I have no faith in elections at all. The idea that we'll go another 30 years and keep attempting to vote our way out of this drives me crazy. I want people to all of a sudden realize, this isn't going to, it's nothing's going to change unless we change it. They're not going to get fixed. We're never going to vote in the people we want because they just won't allow them. They won't give them the information. They won't give them the time on the media. They won't give them a fair shake, and they'll choose them. When I look at what Trump's doing, I'm like, Trump does everything that he does, a lot of things, especially on national policy, that most people in America are like, please stop doing. But he does it anyway. And You know, as I look at that, I'm like, you know, I never would have voted for Hillary, but I will say this. If Hillary would have got elected, there would have been major secession movements in a lot of states. Texas and all them, it would have been deadly serious. Now, on another note, I love the fact that California is trying to split itself up and separate, because that's kind of the leftists are kind of caught in a lurch right there. They're like, well, that's a bunch of leftists that want to do that. But they're like, man, if we let them do that, and then everybody else is going to want to. So they're kind of caught in a pinch on that one, which I think is a little amusing.
Okay. All right. And we'll be back after this. 75 Radio.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's advanced distance education program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Those bumpers are pretty good. I like that introduction. The guy can't get my name straight. He's scared to death. He's probably lucky I'm not in the studio when they recorded that, but that's fine. I like it. I'm here today. This is probably our last segment of the day, and we've been talking some political horrors and alleged horrors on the border crossings and kidnapping and doing stuff with the president's youngest son, who, you know, Barron is, what, 12 years old now? And, you know, that kid has got it all in front of him. You know, he was born into, you know, with the proverbial silver spoon in his mouth. I'd like to be around in 40 years or so to see what awaits him, you know, not particularly, you know, to wait to see what he would bring, but I don't know. The kid may be president someday, so these people on the left better beware. You never know. You know, Kennedy bought the White House. You never know if Trump's can buy the White House. But anyway, I want to get off of that. I want to give an honorable mention out to our friend James Edwards of the Political Cesspool. I know Jay is familiar with James. It's his birthday, and I want to wish him a blessed birthday and enjoy it with his family. Nice fellow.
I will join you in wishing Mr. Edwards a happy birthday. He's a good guy.
Yeah. I owe him a trip out to Memphis. I told him some months ago that when the weather gets warmer, I'll come out there and do a live feed with him on the Political Cesspool. And then right after that, we'll have try to do a live feed on the 7.5 radio. And this way we can have call-ins, we can have live guests and see what that might be something that I could do once every month, once every couple of months. You know, because I'm not far from Memphis, so it's just you know, I always told him, I says, if your staff pisses me off, I says I'll be there by dinner time. You know, it's nothing but a quick ride on I-40, and I'm there. But yeah, happy birthday to James, and I'll talk to him soon. Are you a golfer, Jay? Do you golf?
No, I'm not. Are you?
Well, I used to be. A couple of spinal surgeries, you know, affected my swing, so I stopped it. But the reason I bring that up is because they had the PGA had the U.S. Open up there on Long Island in Shinnecock last week. And I was the last U.S. Open I went to was 2008 when I was in New York, and I visited New York. And that was when Tiger Woods had a busted up knee. And I think that was the last time he won a major. And then he got messed up with porn stars. His wife, Erin Corn, with porn stars. Anyway, but that's not why I'm talking about the golf.
See, I think that was from his wife. Didn't his wife, hit him with a golf club?
Yeah. She found out, and she whacked him, and he backed out, and he ran over the rock wall that's in front of his house in Florida with his, caddy SUV, and the police were called, and that's how it all became public and stuff. But yeah, I remember that. But the golf thing. Okay, now golf and tennis. Okay, I like to watch them both. I never really played much tennis, but I like them both. But I don't understand why the crowd has to be quiet when they're hitting the ball. You know, you go to a baseball stadium and the guy is trying to hit a ball with a skinny stick, and the ball is going 95 to 100 miles an hour, and the crowd is just screaming. You know, they're hitting a moving target. Okay, in golf, the ball is sitting right in front of you, dude. I don't understand why you got these guys with their hands up. I never could, because, you know, I've been in golf since I was a teenager. They put quiet up. They put their hands up. People shut up, and everybody hushes. And even the announcers that are 500 yards away are hushing. They talk very softly. I think it's just ridiculous. Anyway, Phil Mickelson.
There's this, like, stuck-up attitude to golf. I don't know. There's this, like, you know, I'm not a big sports guy. I don't really get into it that much, but I will admit, I'll hear stories about people that go to baseball games and football games and, you know, the insane stuff I hear the crowd doing to the players is just, I'm like, I can't imagine them doing that at a golf game.
and exactly, you know, all this stuck-up stuff, shirts. My point to bringing this up is Phil Mickelson was having trouble on one of the holes. He bogeyed, which means, you know, you're taking too many shots at, they give you X amount of shots at a hole. That's called a par. And bogeys are extra shots at a hole. And the ball was just going back and forth. So on one shot, when he missed the hole, he ran across the green and the ball was still moving, and he took a whack at it to get it back up close to the hole. Okay. Now, that's a two-stroke penalty if you hit your ball and it's still moving. Okay. That prevents like a double tap. But he's playing by the rules, and yet the golf community, after the round was over, pretty much was trying to ostracize him for cheating. Now, it's in the rule book. So how could you cheat if you're playing by the rules? He broke a rule, but it was part of the game. And he said afterwards, he says, I don't care what they think. He says, that's in the rule book. He says, you know, the smartest players know all the rules. And, you know, some guy in a stuffed shirt, probably in his 70s, was trying to ostracize Mr. Mickelson for playing by the rules, that he cheated and he should be, you know, suspended and all this stuff. Now, I just don't get it. You know, golf, these guys don't make, well, they make too much money for doing what they do. And so do baseball players. But there are players that you scream at, like we talked about. It's like a frat party at a baseball game or a football game. And these players,
oh God, and they're throwing stuff at the players.
Yeah, these guys are making thousands and thousands. Some of these players are making $100,000 for an at bat. You know, it's ridiculous. But people are screaming at them. You know, hot dog wrappers are flying around the yard. And when it comes to golf, everybody has to be hush. Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, I'm going to pay that much money for a ticket. You know, I want to have some fun. But then again, that's why I don't go to any of the golf tournaments. They throw me out first thing.
I could just see you out there in the crowd right now, right when somebody's about ready to hit their ball, going, joke, you bastard, you suck.
and that's happened. And the golfer turns around, and I think it was Tiger Woods. The golfer turns around and says, why are you screaming? Right in the middle of my shot. Oh, dude, come on. You're hitting a ball that's sitting right in front of you. Holy cow. You know, with a club five times the size of the ball. Try doing that with a baseball bat and a baseball. Try hitting that. Anyway, I just had to bring that up because, you know, the tennis and golf is so stuck up on themselves. And, I'm not going to get
it.
No,
I will say this. One benefit of them being a little stuck up is that when those guys freak out and have like, you know, a flip out, it's that much funnier. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been enough. You go on YouTube, type in golf, you know, golf temper tantrums. There's some pretty good ones where guys just beating the dirt.
I like the meltdowns. I like when they break the club over their knee and they throw it in the water and stuff like that. Yeah. I like the meltdowns. But even when they have a meltdown, they don't want the crowd to cheer or jeer or anything. You know, it's ridiculous. They can't clap until the ball goes in the hole. It's just stupid. I mean, you know, last time I played golf, around the golf with my friends from the police department, we got thrown off because we were shooting our guns on the golf course. It was at the Garden City Country Club on Long Island. And we went there and we were shooting at the balls in the air and everything. We 5 o'clock in the morning, we were all, we weren't in our right mind back then.
I like it. That's classic. That's classic. I can't say anything. Last time I ever played golf, I was in high school and one of my drunken friends started a fight with some random guy on the course. And next thing you know, I don't know, we're about ready to like square off with these 50-year-olds. We're all 16, 17 over the cap of the football team, walking around with two golf clubs with his shirt off going, come on, let's do this. I'm going, don't tell me golf is not a game we're going to be invited to play very much. It ended poorly.
And that'd make a fun day for me. That would make a fun day for me. I would enjoy seeing that, you know. But we were crashing up the golf carts and everything. We were having crasheroos, we used to call it, a demolition derby with the golf carts and stuff. And it was a mess. It was a mess, but we had fun. And of course, by the time we got to work, we heard about it from the commanding officer. So we got ratted on. Well, that's another week in the books, Jay. Appreciate you coming on board today and Mr. Insight, Mr. Encyclopedia. I love having you on. and we're going to do it real soon again.
Thank you for having me on.
75 Radio signing off for the week. Be good, be safe.
This is James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.